Welcome back this morning to the weekly radio broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. You know, it's hard to believe that we're already in the month of June, and it seems like we just started the year 2015, but here we are almost halfway through the year. You know, and that thought really kind of wakes me up a little bit. Time is always flying by, and hopefully we're using that time wisely by studying and learning more about God and His plan for our lives. Now, if you're saved, there should be that desire in your heart to always be seeking Him and to be studying Him and trying to be where you need to be. But, you know, even if you're a little backslidden, that desire is still there, and you can still feel God kind of pulling at those strings a little bit to wake you up. And if you've never seemed to have that desire to get where God wants you to be and a desire to learn more about Him, could it be that you were never really saved to begin with? You know, there are so many false gospels out there today, most of which teach that salvation is really in your own control. But that is not what the Bible teaches. And I would encourage you to listen closely as Pastor Reynolds this morning talks to us about what the real gospel message is.
Who really accepts whom? My question involves this. In speaking with people, I want to know if they are a real believer or not. Oftentimes, when I ask people if they are saved, the answer sometimes comes like this. Of course I am. I accepted Christ many years ago, or I accepted Christ a long time ago. And perhaps if you were the person asking the question, you would feel a bit uneasy hearing this feather light response. The problem is not so much as what is answered, but the person didn't answer more. Oftentimes, I find that people are more willing to talk about their work than they are about Christ who has saved them. I find that people are more interested in talking about a lot of other things rather than talking about God who has washed away their eternal sins. I think that the modern methods that we have today of evangelism have produced a glut of people who talk as if becoming a Christian were something that they did. It goes something like this. God has done all He can do. The next move, the really decisive one, is up to you. Heaven or hell. The choice is yours. By thus accepting Christ, man virtually becomes his own Savior. Man is in the driver's seat, and God is simply a spectator to what is going on. Man becomes the sun around which all else in the universe rotates. You see, the reason that people often fail to say so much as to what should have been said is that they have heard a gospel that has failed to say enough in the first place. Today, many pulpits proclaim a God who is trying, in a largely unsuccessful way, to make Himself acceptable to God. In interest of simplicity, the gospel has been over-reduced to a point that the gospel has actually been nothing at all. But if a little truth is presented as if it were the whole truth, the result will be confusion at best and deception at its very worst. Some of what he said was true. Compare Genesis 3 verse 5, where Satan said some of the truth unto the woman, but he did not tell all of the truth. You know, partial truth can be more dangerous than a total lie, and the devil knows exactly that. But let us therefore just take a look at the other half of the gospel, which we cannot afford to omit. Listen, if this latter part, if the main structure of the gospel is left out, It is your eternity. You see, it's not based so much upon what you have done or what you can do. It is based upon the fact that God can touch you. That is what really counts. The gospel of Jesus Christ is essentially God-centered, not man-centered. We were created for His pleasure, not vice versa. You see, we are created for the pleasure of God. It is not that God has been created for our pleasure. But through Adam, sin has entered into the world and has entirely corrupted the very heart and the very nature of every man. Thus, we are separated from God by an infinite span. God's holiness and justice demand that our sin be punished, and our sin will be punished. If your sin is not punished, God is no longer holy. You see that? And if He is not holy, then He is not God at all. And that is what Satan told the woman in the Garden of Eden. That God was not really God, that you are God. That's really what he was saying. Now, in our state of sin, we are not capable of paying for our sins. We're not capable of changing ourselves. We're not capable of making peace with God. Why? Because we are unacceptable to Him. You see, the Bible states in the book of Galatians 2 and verse number 6 that God accepteth no man's person. If we are left to our own sinful selves, we are all headed for eternal damnation. The immeasurably holy God will justly pour out His righteous wrath upon us. Our only hope is that someone greater than us will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That someone else will actually make us acceptable to God. But this raises a very important question. Who can fully pay for our sins? Is it us or is it someone else? This leads us to the very essence of our discussion. Who can accept whom? Who can live perfectly? Who is it that can live without sin? Without even one sin to earn God's favor for us? Who can make us acceptable with God? The biblical answer is unmistakably clear. Only God Himself can do this. And that, my friend, is precisely what God has done for us. Though under no obligation to do so, He has, in grace and in mercy alone, out of the goodness of His own heart, made sinners acceptable to Himself. But how has God done this unexpected, amazing thing? The answer is very simple. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He, that is Christ, has done all of these things in such a way that sinners are delivered, and yet justice is maintained. The guilty one goes free, but the standards of justice are not broken or changed in the smallest iota. Christ, the eternal Son of God, came into this world, and Christ, who is God, became a man, and Christ lived a life of sinless obedience to the Father and died the death which sinners deserve to die, fully satisfying the demands of the law. In Jesus Christ, sinners are declared to be reconciled, that is, accepted by God. Thus we read in the book of Ephesians 1 and verse 6 that God hath made us accepted in the Beloved. This is not because of any work that I have ever done, but rather it is because of the work that Jesus Christ has done for me on the cross of Calvary. God has made to be the objects of His grace all who are in His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Accepting is God's prerogative. It is God's ultimate act. It is what God has put upon the heart of each individual. Accepting Jesus Christ and the price that He has paid for us on the cross of Calvary. You see, it is not that I am trusting anything that I've ever done. Rather, I am trusting what Jesus Christ has done for me on the cross of Calvary. I'm not trusting me joining the church. I'm not trusting me preaching. I'm not trusting me being baptized. I'm not trusting anything except Jesus Christ, who has paid the price for my eternal salvation. You see, salvation is the act of God. It is His initiative. It is His intervention in a hopeless, desperate case. Salvation, according to Jonah 2 and verse number 9, is of the Lord. Salvation is a gift that God has given to sinners. Salvation is not so much the sinner accepting God as it is God who accepts the sinner. And the sinner desperately turns from sin and clings to Christ. This is the gospel message which exalts Christ and rightly positions Him in the driver's seat. This makes man the orbiting sphere around God, because God is the centerpiece. God is the one. You see, in grace, the emphasis is not upon the recipient, but in grace, the emphasis is placed upon the giver. Now listen, is this the gospel of your salvation? Are you still thinking in terms of what you have done? Or are you depending entirely on what God's Son, Jesus Christ, has done for you? I can almost hear somebody saying, well, how about my decision? Didn't I do something at all? Didn't I at least have to desire to be saved? Didn't I have to do anything at all? Oh, yes. But this morning, we'll have to close out because of our time. But we'll take up this very vital subject next Sunday morning, the Lord willing. Is what about your salvation? Did you have to turn to Jesus Christ?
Now, if you'd like to talk more about this message that Brother Wayne just brought, you know, I'd encourage you to actually stop by and visit with us in person. Now, you can call us. You can reach us at 636-673-2180. But if you want to just stop by and visit with us and sit down and talk about this message of salvation, we would be more than happy to do so with you. Now, you can find us at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri, and we'll be meeting this morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school. We'll have worship services at 11 o'clock, and then this afternoon we'll meet for 3:45 prayer meeting and then 4:30 worship services. And you are more than welcome to stop by during any of that time, and we'd be happy to visit with you. I'd also encourage you to log on to our website and check out the many different books, articles, and audio messages that are available. The website address is www.independencebaptist.org. As it always does, the time has quickly disappeared, and we're once again coming down to the end of our broadcast this morning, but we are thankful that you were able to listen, and we pray that next week we'll once again be able to join you for another message from God's holy word.